This is JFM Podcast.
The national chairman of the police community relations.
From the regular.
It is time for us to unite and move the step forward.
To the absurd.
The Senate President has sent prayers to your mailbox.
News headlines get us talking. For every story that makes the headlines, you need experts and analysts.
The complaint basically is they will say motivation. I mean, the pay
is
not
good. Yeah, motivation and even...
The moral and then we don't produce, we consume. You see, the social investment program was almost like a charity funding. Did it reach the poorest of the poor? And in what form? You borrowed and dashed people money. Dashed.
Every weekday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., join Ponsa Fanab and Gilbert Joseph on Nigeria at Sunset as they dissect trending political and social issues, bringing light to darkness and voices to silence.
Because as I am now, I'm a very confused man. Because whether to go to left or go to right.
Hello there, very good evening to you and welcome to the program Nigeria Sunset on J101.9 here in Jos. My name is Ponsak Fanab. It's a beautiful Friday evening. It's a holy day for our Muslim brothers and sisters. So, Jumad Mubarak, Jumad Karim to you. Gilbert, good evening. How was the day and how's the going?
Good evening, Ponsak. It was a lovely day and it's been good so far. No problems. We can't cease to talk about the weather condition, as it were, because people have to just take care. I think it's the least advice we can, you know, grant to individuals. If it's important, please take along with you an umbrella, especially at the noon hours of the day, except when this
and drink plenty of water.
Yes, drink plenty of water. Stay hydrated. Yeah. It's really key. It's really key. Take care of your health. And for those who do, you know, tough jobs that require for them to be out there, they also have to be extremely careful, Watch your workload in order not to crash, because you need yourself, please.
Yeah, well, you have to be very, very conscious of taking care of yourself, because, I mean, the weather is very hot. I was on the phone with a friend, you know, this morning, and she's in Abuja, so we're chatting. I said, I was just complaining that I really had tough time, you know, before I could sleep last night. And she said she saw a cold drink when we were talking, and she wanted to go for it. And then she doesn't take anything that is carbonated, so she saw one off. But basically, you know, she was saying, we need to thank God that even if, no matter how hot Jos is, Abuja is more hot, you know, if that's the right way to put it. But, well, we give thanks for the weather. You just have to hydrate yourself. You have to really take good care of yourself, you know, this season, especially because I was reading somewhere in the media that health authorities have placed a lot of communities across the country on read a lot for meningitis, because this is a period that some of the sicknesses emerge. Mm-hmm. So you have to really watch and take good care of yourself.
Yeah. Already, Zamfara recorded 40 deaths as a result of meningitis.
Okay, just this year?
In a secondary school, last week.
Okay, so...
Yes, last week. So that's how bad it gets.
Yeah, so you have to be very, very careful. Well, Gilbert, what stories have you followed today?
Since we just spoke about, you know, the situation, especially down the north, let's also stay with Kano State, where the Hizbah commander there resigned as a result of this lady, the TikToker Murjanatu. The whole situation around her hasn't been particularly straight.
I follow the girl on YouTube Shorts time to time.
Yeah.
I like her because she's very bold. You know, I think the societies needs to open, and religion is a personal matter. If Murja, you know, chooses that is how she wants to live, I don't think anybody, when we live in a democratic society, they should allow her to live her life, provided that what she's doing doesn't cause, you know, harm or doesn't harm society in any way. So I think that she's doing that within the confines of, you know, her right. And some people argue that why, you know, that my position is wrong and what have you. But homosexual act has a name in Hausa, and you know that human beings, if there's a name, you know, in a native language, it shows that that has been in practice, you know, for since time immemorial. Mm-hmm. Homosexuality in Hausa is ludu. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they, and then the homosexual male, you call them ndaudu. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that, and this is way before this whole rave or craze for cross-dressing. Mm-hmm. You know, gain mainstream attention, got attention in mainstream media. So, I don't know why the head of Hizbah had to resign. Because they picked out in the night.
Yes, basically his reason is that the governor has rebuked them, you know, owing to the way and manner in which they go about arresting people in public gatherings and all that. And he said, look, to the best of his knowledge, they attempted to discharge their responsibilities as best as they could. But for the governor to come out to say, look, you guys erred and you should have been more cautious and civilized, didn't sit down well with him. And he said, look, I honor your rights. I honor certain things you have said. And I think that it's time to move on. And we pray for forgiveness wherever we have erred, according to him. And Ponsa can understand what you have said about her rights and all the privileges that she had to exercise, the things that she kept doing. But in such an environment, I remember the whole argument about even the establishment of the Hizbah police and the questions around who has to police people morally.
Morality.
You know, morality police, as it were. And all of that, it has continued to, you know, over time gain mainstream attention. Let me use your words now. You know, and all that continues to fester in the Northwest especially. And you see, it's difficult for people like that to thrive in that environment. And if you look at the challenges that Sanusi, Lamido Sanusi had as Emir of Kano, it was about challenging some of the status quo prevalent in Kano and even part of that region. So these are the way that I think that society views itself. And if there is a law, and even the constitution hasn't abhorred the promulgation of some of the laws that they have set there and codes of conduct, then people have to just abide by some of these things. If you are not in tune with it, I think you can move to another state where you can exercise that right and privilege as a Nigerian, you know, because that's what I think ordinarily democracy is all about.
Well, it's within her right. But let's just watch to see, you know, how all of that will pan out. I know that we mix religion with culture, you know, in our society. True. And then a lot of people, you know, will I don't want to mention because we're in the North, and I know that our regulators are maybe listening, but there are songs I do listen, you know, in Hausa language. Those songs are very, very vulgar, especially the women, you know. There's one lady, I don't want to mention her name. If you listen to that music, you know, it's very, very vulgar. There are a lot of them. So I don't know, you know, in terms of policing people when it comes to morality, that doesn't sit down well with me personally. And what other news? Have you followed, you know, the news report of Binance and how Binance was used to...
It's unfortunate.
I mean, how would you... Okay, so for people who don't understand, Binance is not even a registered company in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. It's just a P2P platform. Yeah. Payment to payment. Yeah, platform. It's just a platform that you pay. But most Nigerians found a way to use that platform to speculate the dollar. And the federal government has said that the transaction that Binance, you know, has had for some time, about $30 billion U.S. dollars. And then the federal government cannot trace where those monies, you know, which account those monies ended up in. So I think that is undermining, you know, our country, because that same Binance has been banned in Canada, in America, in, you know, Britain.
It's been sued in the U.S. again.
Yeah. But for me, the question is, why didn't our regulators, you know, have detected, you know, such a fraud? And that company is owned by a Chinese guy. You know, I wonder why, you know, these people just undermine countries. Look at how that has battered, you know, our economy. And the federal government is thinking of suing Binance, demanding $10 billion, you know. I think that, you know, the Tinubu administration is getting it right, you know, with this. People shouldn't come to our country and just do sharp business practice and think that they can get away with it. They should be held responsible and held accountable.
True. I share in those views, Ponsak. But my problem is with the government thinking that people just come out to say, about to speculate about the naira and dollar price or ratio, as it were, and then things begin to change. I don't know how these things work, where people can just lose the right to talk about stuff. It's more like you saying, look, I'm seeing a football game, and I think that this is how the game is going to end up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where I have a problem with it. If we have real problems, and solutions such as this would help to solve the problems, then so be it. But to take away the rights of people and the freedom of people from trying to, even if it were, for example, to speculate, they have the right to do so, because politically people speculate about the winners and losers of an election eventually.
Mm-hmm.
It's same thing with any other industry, the stock exchange market. There is so much speculation ongoing there. So I think that there has to be a balance between where the rights of people start and end when it comes to talking about currencies, especially in our climate where we have this crisis where the dollar has completely overridden the naira in its power. So that's where I think I have a challenge with. People have the right to talk about the exchange, the foreign exchange rate, and of course let the government come out to tell us that, look, this is where your right starts and where it ends.
Yeah. I do agree. Let's play this insert from Honorable Dacho Musa Bagos. He was on national TV earlier today. He made comments on what is happening in Edo State, especially with his party, the PDP, and how, you know, his party is resolving that. And, of course, the economic hardship in the country. He was on national TV, like I said, mid-afternoon today. When we come back, we have a guest. We're going to talk about tourism and all of its potential. Stay here.
We need reforms in the party. We need everybody on board to be able to galvanize, go back to the drawing board. How can we get the party, the PDP, to be able to win not just Edo and reclaim other seats and other states within the country? Because if we now continue the way on what is going on in Edo now, position and whosoever has interest in killing the PDP will divide and rule. And so very important that everybody comes to the table and let's all have that sense of belonging to see that, okay, we all bring our expertise to see that we proffer solution to the problems that are on ground. But unfortunately, how did it get to this point that we now have two candidates in Edo? And at the end of the day, who will rightly and justfully the people who want to vote? So these are issues that we couldn't have even allowed it to get to this starting point. The APC had its issues. They were able to resolve it. So why is it that PDP have not been able to resolve that up till now? We still have two people parading as candidates of the PDP in Edo. The solution to this dilemma, it's something that Mr. President have taken responsibility, but in taking responsibility, we need action to this responsibility. But mine is that whenever there is a problem, what was the foundation that has led to the house collapsing, especially economically at the moment? Because first of all, the major cardinal point that drives governance in the country or even in the state is the budget. The reality of our budget today is not visible according to the projection of when the budget was passed, meaning that between now and next year, what was budgeted and what was passed by the National Assembly is not going to hold the economic indices of this country in the next 3 years, because the budget was passed when the dollar was at 800 naira. Now the dollar is above 1,000. So first of all, the actualization of the budget that was passed to be able to push and to get us to the next 4 years is not realistic. So the president needs to go back to the drawing board to look at that. If not, most of the capital projects in the budget will not be achieved in 2024 because the high cost of inflation and so on. So first of all, go back and look at how can that attack the economy and you be able to address from the National Assembly, be it supplementary budget, be it whatsoever, that needs to be looked. If not, most of the items in the budget for 2024 will not be achieved because the budget as it is now is not real.
Yeah, well, glad you're still with us. The program is Nigeria at Sunset. My name is Ponsak Fanab.
My name is Gilbert Joseph.
Yeah, that was Honorable Dachumbosa Bagos giving his thoughts about the state of the economy. We have the general manager of the Plateau Tourism Corporation, Mr. Chuang Pajok. Is a very, he's our uncle. We all call him Uncle C. Good evening. Thank you so much for coming, sir.
Good evening, Ponsak, Gilbert.
Yeah.
Good evening, listener.
Well, congratulations to you. You know, the first ever Christmas village last year. It was a success. And we hope that as time goes by, it's going to get bigger and better. Will you like to tell us, you know, the experience, you know, that you had, you know, while having that big and novel, you know, thing?
No, thank you very much, Ponsak. And the Christmas festival, like, we did mention before the event came, was an idea that was driven solely by the desire to begin to reposition the state as a Christmas holiday destination in the country. We feel or have accepted, as far as the Plateau State Tourism Corporation is concerned, that we need to begin to create content that drives visitors, that drives citizens into our state. And we decided to borrow on that tradition and to see how we can begin to expand on that trajectory so that as time goes on, we are able to make that a signature event that defines Jos, that defines Plateau State every end of the year. Well, it wasn't without challenges or hurdles. Like, I'm pretty sure the general public did notice that we didn't quite deliver as promised from the beginning. But
I'm happy that we are admitting that, okay, you set a standard, but it's the first time. We all understand. You know,
we didn't quite deliver as promised, but most of the hurdles were anticipated. They were expected. Even in the planning, perhaps that was why we were still able to put up something in the long run. Because right from the beginning of our planning, we decided to bring out our entire conception of the Christmas festival event, which we planned to be a month-long activity, so that anybody coming into Plateau State, coming into Jos, or reading about us or hearing about us will know that there is something to come and enjoy. There is something to come and help you relax during the Christmas festivity. So either you come in the first week of December, second, third, or the last week of December. So we keep a consistent flow of tourists and visitors into the state. That was the conception.
Yeah.
And we also decided while we were planning that we needed to keep focus on the private sector. Draw partnerships that are viable, draw partnerships that will come with mutual benefits, so that if at the end of the day, this government would naturally live out its full term, 8 years, whoever comes in, the event would have become a signature event for the state, driven by the private sector, not government. So even if there is a lack of interest on succeeding administration, we still have something that will survive as a tradition as far as the state is concerned. So we're a bit deliberate in making sure that we seek out private partnerships in running the event. While we weren't able to get all of them on board, we were at least able to get a few on board who funded the event. And from scratch to finish, there wasn't a single penny of government funds that was involved.
Oh, really?
In that. And that's what we were able to do, even though we had to shrink the event from the expectation of a one-month event, and we were able to put up something about a week or so, and had to cancel the remaining part of the event because of the mood of the state with regards to the attacks and all of that. So I think it was a worthwhile adventure, and it's something that we are focused on consolidating on, and plans are already on the way to begin to plan the next phase of 2024 Christmas festival. We are already working on it as we speak now, so that we don't lose any time. We are working, hopefully, to meet up the timetable for most business entities and corporate organizations who would want to partner with government. If you don't catch them early enough and you move midway into the year or late, you find out that there's little or nothing that they can do. So by and large, it was a worthwhile experiment. And I believe that lessons have been learned, and we are poised in terms of trying to make corrections and improve on where we didn't quite get it.
Let me ask you this question. I mean, there's so much infrastructural development. The state is getting a facelift in terms of roads. Train service is coming back. We have the Jos Metro, the Tin City Metro. Any moment from now, I mean, we're going to see these buses. It's just for the governor to commission them, and then we'll see them in operation. How are you targeting IGI, I mean contributing to the IGI of the state, especially through tourism, if these infrastructures, you know, come? Because people will like modern means of transportation. That's why you have the metro, Tin City Metro, very safe, it's efficient, and the train service too is very safe, it's very efficient. What is the tourism sector, you know, thinking on contributing to the state government coffers in terms of IGI?
Well, basically, at the moment, we are focused, like I said, even with the Christmas festival, on leveraging and courting mutual partnerships that can lead to effective or sustainable development as far as our infrastructure is concerned. And Plateau has quite a lot in terms of tourism infrastructure. That is why years past we earned the name the Home of Peace and Tourism, because of not just the weather, not just the physical natural attractions, but indeed the investment that previous governments were able to make to improve our tourism facilities and infrastructure, like the hotels in particular. And at the moment, there have been lots of interactions and engagements that have been going on with the private sector. We've received quite a significant amount of proposals, which we have discussed at varying degrees and at varying levels with the private sector. And not to sound overtly or too optimistic, but I believe that in not too long to come, we're hopeful that we are about closing deals with a couple of them with regards to some of our tourism facilities across the state. And that will improve our IGR significantly. Now, there are equally activities by the corporation is hoping to expand on. I'm saying expand on because these are statutory responsibilities that have been given to the corporation by law. We are responsible for registering hospitality and related tourism establishment all across the state, and we've been doing that over the years. What we're trying to do is to perhaps polish the strategies of making sure that these hotels, these tourist establishments get to keep to their own part as far as the responsibility of paying whatever stipends they are expected to pay with regards to the registration of their establishments. And quite an improvement so far, but a lot still needs to be done because the bulk of the work has largely concentrated within the northern zone, which expectedly houses majority of these establishments. But we are already working, and I think by next week, officers from the Tourism Corporation will be moving into the central and the southern zone to largely take stock of existing hospitality and tourism facilities. And I believe there is an expansion in some of our local governments in that regards, and we hope to try to reach out and cover to that extent so that the IGR of the state will indeed get improved upon. And I think I've mentioned this before, but the corporation is equally fine-tuning processes and discussing with sister MDAs in terms of trying to come up with an effective tourism management portal that will handle virtually every transaction or every engagement, from tourists visiting the site to know what Plateau has with regards to our tourism resources, what to expect, what advantages they can get, especially if they are investors and all of that. We're working assiduously in that direction, and we're holding discussions with relevant agencies that have responsibilities for one aspect or the other with regards to coming up with that infrastructure. And I think we are getting to the close of it, and then the necessary approvals and all of that will be gotten, and eventually we find ourselves on board. A lot of work needs to be done on the ground, and we have remained focused and committed in terms of trying to tidy up what is on the ground before we begin to roll out most of the activities. And we are synergizing, and I believe effectively, with the ministry, which is our parent body, to see how we will begin to coordinate and rebrand or repackage and organize our cultural festivals and make them indeed unique tourism products that can effectively be managed, and for people to take advantage, to find the opportunity to visit our state in droves, or even if we try to focus largely on the domestic tourism aspect of it, where we encourage citizens to participate and come out, keep developing and cultivating this culture of leisure. But I know these are very difficult and challenging times in Nigeria, for people are barely able to eat. And but then you still have to find time to take off the pressure, and visiting some of these attractions or tourist sites will indeed help. So a lot is happening, and very soon I know that we'll have cause to feel grateful for what the state government is doing with regards to tourism.
Quite remarkable. I know that in the past you spoke about the possibility of engaging some of the facilities, because this is, of course, in line with, you know, IGR generation and all that. Perhaps to just make these facilities lively, be them through music, be them through movies, you know, various forms of arts and all that, in terms of, have these things commenced? Have these ideas began to see the light of day?
I think even the very, after the Christmas festival, where we experimented with some of these ideas, particularly the theater stage drama presentations that we hosted during the Christmas festival. I think just last Sunday, a live theater event was held at the Rock Garden of the Plateau Hotel, and it's part of the collaboration, because we had conversations with the group, the theater company that is engaged in that, and we reached that understanding, and we are equally working to expand the engagements to see how we can effectively deliver by making these interactions or engagements to become something periodical and consistent.
In terms of, you know, gauging what comes in through tourism, because of course, you know, it's common practice, and that's why business, tourism and travel is usually associated in gauging these things. For example, people come to town specifically for the essence of tourism. How are you able to get this data? And for the hospitality industry, how are you able to get this data so that in the end, there is authoritatively, you know, a document or an information database to back up the fact that this is what from that sector. I know you're not the commissioner of that ministry, but from your own end, what can you possibly tell
well,
us?
We work hand in glove with the ministry, and the commissioner has been quite helpful, quite open, and ready for whatever partnerships that we need, and she has indeed been supportive. If you listen to what I said earlier, I talked about the fact that we are at an advanced stage in tidying up, coming up with a tourism management portal. And the idea of that portal is we want more like a one-stop location where any and everything tourism can be accessed, including hotel database, possible occupancy rates from hotels. At the click of a button, you know how we are doing in terms of visitor numbers and all of that. And it's not only restricted to the hotels. Our amusement parks, our other resorts and all of that, all everything is going to be taken care of with what we are planning. So in terms of gauging that at the moment, I think what I met on ground hasn't been that effective in giving you a snap picture of how we are doing. But this innovative idea is what we hope should be able to tidy up and give us the picture within a twinkle of an eye. Now, there are different measures and statistical tools that internationally are recognized for gauging and understanding tourism revenues and all of that. And these are all that we hope to tidy up so that we begin to separate what exactly tourism is contributing to the economy in Plateau State. And you know that it's not all of it that will come through the coffers of the Plateau State Tourism Corporation or the Ministry of Tourism. And so some of these are just largely business entities that are engaged in doing one thing or the other. But we are hoping we'll be able to mop up most of this information, a comprehensive database that will that will help us to begin to determine accurately at least some level of realistic estimates of the tourism statistics and its contribution as far as the economy of Plateau State is concerned. And that is why we are focused on deploying technology in this respect to help us tidy up the bottlenecks and the loopholes that have been there for a very long time.
The security challenges that in the past, you know, hampered lots of activities, not just of your sector. Were you able to notice any difference in terms of when these events took place and when it stopped? Did you notice any significant changes in the activities, influx and outflux and all?
Yeah, it's quite obvious that you would notice a difference, because news these days is instant, even though a lot of the instant news oftentimes is laced with lots of untruths that follow it. But the news is instant because everybody is a journalist because of social media. So people get to receive information either correct or wrong. But when that period passes, of course you notice an uptick in terms of the people who are willing and ready to come into just to transact one business or the other. So I don't have at a snapshot in terms of any form of statistics, but quite a number of activities, events, conferences, workshops and the rest have indeed taking place as far as JOS is concerned. We've hosted quite a few that I have heard about. Some have been invited to. So I think there is an improvement from what the crisis period, because of the dominance of the negative news that we have on air. But we have a lull, a complete, some level of silence with regards to that. People have accepted. I think Nigerians generally, or even global citizens, have accepted that the 21st century, you cannot be boxed into one corner of the planet because there is crisis in another. People have to move on to carry on their businesses. And so long as there is reasonable assurances of safety, people still are able to travel for one reason or the other, be it conferences and the rest of that. So there has been improvements. I can say that.
All right. Monsak?
Yeah, well, let's open the phone lines. We've been having a chat with the general manager of the Plateau State Tourism Corporation, Mr. Chuang Pwajog. You can join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you, 081-2187-7777, or you call 090-55-66-6699. Don't forget to turn down the volume of your radio or you turn it off completely. You've heard from what the GM said. The dream is to make, number one, Plateau a Christmas holiday destination that tourists from all over the world will visit Plateau to enjoy in our rich culture, the warm people, beautiful weather, and of course, the diversity that we share here. And the second is having a long-term plan in terms of tourism, you know, re-energizing all the tourism spot that we have on the Plateau. Gilbert.
Yeah, you can send us your comments on Facebook at JFM Live. On X, we are JFM Jaws.
Well, let's take the first call. Hello, and good evening. Thank you for calling.
Good evening, Mr. Ponsat.
Tell us your name and join the conversation, please.
My name is Mr. Laja from Kubarut.
We're listening. Go ahead, sir.
The guests are spoken very, very well. My contribution to this program is that tourism is very important in any state or country in terms of air revenue, or even progress in terms of life. But I want the general manager to understand that there are certain things his office is supposed to put in place. For instance, the Hill Station Hotel used to be a boom, in fact, for activities of government. But now those things, if I it's like it has an abandoned place, government has decided to shift to Redfield now. So which is, I think, is not good. It's like development is one-sided. People who even voted for the government are around here. So my advice is that they could open up here and there, especially the Hill Station Hotel. And then there's one hotel in Garda View here. It's very strategic when it comes to social gathering.
What's the name of the hotel?
I think it used to be 30 Hotel. There is an underground for clubs even. So I want him, he talk about taking statistics of hospitality ventures. I don't know whether he knows that hotel exists. Close to Polo Field.
Yeah, thank you.
And so, yes, and other, like the Luca Bento Theater, from the outside, it's like nothing is happening. There are structures there that can develop. Make it as either fun village or something like that. Let everything be taken care of so that everything should take shape. Hospitality will take shape. Tourism will take shape. And they should partner even with GMBB and other sister agencies for jobs to be clean and life should flourish. I like the way he speaks. God bless us all.
Thank you. I think the first caller made a very, very... Will you like to respond to it, Mr. Chuang? Because, I mean, he said, especially the Luca Bento outdoor theater. Yeah, indoor theater.
Yeah, I did say that we've received and reviewed and have interacted with quite a number of investors. Mm-hmm. We want to move away from the previous tradition where they seem to have been a lack of due diligence on transacting business with private partners, and the government ended up with the shorter end of the stick at the end of the day. We signed agreements that were detrimental to us. If you are aware of, I don't know the details, but the situation with the standard building itself, whereas if this government just signed off an agreement with a private individual without carefully studying or understanding what they were getting into, and and today we have a legal challenge to untangle that property and get it properly within the... So we don't want a repeat of those processes. That is why we are taking our time to do understand the proper PPP models and procedures that need to be followed. And we have been doing that to with some level of diligence to make sure that at the end of the day, if Plateau gets to sign an agreement, an understanding with any private entity for the management or development of any of our tourist facilities, we will not be shortchanged in the long run. We will have mutual benefits for both the investing partner and the state, since we all have a stake in it. So the Hill Station Hotel is one of those places that we have received proposals and we are carefully studying them. We have not reached the stage of understanding or even accepting that most of these partners have the capabilities that they say they have, because it's one thing to present credentials on, yeah, on paper, and it's another thing to present clear evidence and proof of what you have stated you are capable of doing and the amount of funds that you actually claim you have when you write us those proposals. This are the levels that we have to follow painstakingly to make sure that by the time the government is signing any agreement, we are actually signing agreements that are implementable and people will see real tangible developments with regards to these facilities. The Hill Station Hotel is one. The Plateau Hotel is one. The Jos Wildlife Park, Solomon Lara Amusement Park and the Mado Tourist Village are all presently on the table. Some level of active discussions and engagements are going on with regards to most of these properties. And I think I'm optimistic. So I think within the next couple of months or probably weeks, one or two of these discussions might should be able to get to a signing stage where we are able to say this is what we have done and this is where the private investors' responsibilities are, this is where the state is, and of course, these are the benefits that we hope to derive for the state. So government is looking at that. No aspect of any government property, tourism or otherwise, has been left out. The mechanism of having a project monitoring and result delivery office has been very key, very central to sort of midwifing and giving direction to what we are doing. And I particularly am happy that that is in place and is working effectively so that stakeholders can gather within a very short period of time and take decisions with regard to most of these assets. And that is exactly what is happening. We've not signed any agreement yet, so I'm not about to announce that this is coming, that is coming, but I know that active discussions, when I say active, I mean discussions that are serious, are presently ongoing with regards to some of these facilities. And hopefully, by God's grace, we should be able to deliver and deliver something that will be sustainable and guarantee mutual benefits for both the state and the investing partners.
Yeah, I just love your response there. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, good evening. My name is Danat.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, calling from Oshie.
We're listening. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I want to appreciate your guest and thank you for bringing him on board. He's really educating us about the tourism sector. And also, I want to still talk on the behalf of the Hill Station. In fact, that place has been abandoned for years now. In fact, they brought in some people who came to the hoteliers to take over the place and manage it. But they end up locking up the place and sending the staff out of job without even pay. The first time the man came, in fact, out of his 4 years, he has not even paid 1 year's salary. And as I speak to you, there are people who are already renting the place. They rent the place out to people. They rent it out even to lawyers, have turned some of the rooms as chambers, which is not good for us. And the same people are now taking the money. So I want the government to seriously investigate this. We have even spoken to even the man in the PIPC. Government have 76.5% shares of Hill Station Hotel, but they decide to abandon it and leave it for somebody who to just wallow in, turn it as if it is his personal property. So I want government to take note of that and do something about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, thank you. Well, this caller, very interesting facts, you know, there.
Ask them hands on.
Yeah, well, maybe Gilbert, you take us through social media.
We have great comments here. Dashi Alexander Danuk says, the tourism management of Adair State has not gotten to its peak yet. I know with the right steps and attention, we'll get there. We have a lot of attractions in the state, very captivating locations. I urge the government through its relevant stakeholders to take charge of the moment now and improve investments in the tourism sector of Plateau State. Comrade Dawes Longat says, we're trusting God that this administration will change the narrative, because for the past 18 years, there's nothing to show for as home of peace and tourism by the past administration. Accountability is key to any good governance. The immediate past governor should be called for the loss of 400 tractors and other government properties on their position. Okay, possession. Izank, as he says, I'm urging this administration to do the needful to make Plateau State greater than ever before. Shout out to this current administration, more grace and wisdom of leadership. Don Z says, it's unfortunate that tourism development in Plateau State has been threatened by such factors like financial problems, infrastructural constraints like poor road networks, electricity, drinkable water, health facilities, conflicts, and lack of awareness on the benefits of tourism to the people. Government should put more emphasis on tourism for revenue generation. Peter Dauda Darin says, the skirmishes recorded in the state has portrayed it in a bad light, and it is difficult to convince people outside the state that Plateau is the home of peace and tourism indeed. We hope the state regains the peace it was known for. And Felkuka Factors says, government should make tourism centers functional to generate IGR. Pam Gideon Joffrey Box says, to me, the tourism of Plateau State has been neglected for the past 8 years because it was not in the government's agenda and a top priority. If this government can get good servants to head these particular offices, then things will change for the better. I believe Governor Mutfan will be an all-round governor. He'll oversee those departments and the heads for better results. Sankira Marco says, with Mutfang as governor, Plateau State will witness a big change in the tourism sector. He should do his best on security as well. Longji Benchak says, I know it doesn't concern me with tourism, but visibility is quite important to tourism. What is the government planning to do with the dilapidated radio and TV station owned by the state? And as the only TV station in the state, which can make this tourism visible to the rest of the world, is the government planning to revamp it to modern standard? Please do something about it. Pam Ishaya Luka says, I want to commend the efforts of the Barrister Caleb Mutfuang-led administration for always working tirelessly and relentlessly towards restoring Plateau State to the path of peace and tranquility. But the administration needs to put in more effort in terms of promoting and harnessing the tourism potentials of the state, because Plateau State is undoubtedly the most endowed state in terms of tourism, attraction sites, and location. Akulo Jesse says, I can't stream life actually from Maiduguri. All right. Ayuba Moses Kwanga says, tourism sites in the state are an eyesore. Government should revive the tourism sector. Victor Barije is saying, while challenges remain, concerted efforts are being made to leverage the tourism potential of Plateau State and enhance its reputation as a peaceful and attractive destination for visitors. God bless Plateau State. God bless the Federal Republic of Nigeria. Zaure Timna Labar says, I'm so much confident in the administration of our beloved governor, Barrister Mutfuang, in turning around tourism to be active and viable venture for revenue generation in Plateau State. Let's give peace a chance for Plateau to regain its lost glory. Keep it up. And Kanayo Joseph Eze says, the Honorable Commissioner, sir, tourism is is the GM, actually. It's absolutely the holdings on every society. Please, sir, something has to be done about just wildlife park, old zoo, and all tourist centers on the plateau. David Mark Sambo says, the importance of tourism on the plateau can never be overemphasized, because Plateau is blessed with tourist sites more than any other place in Nigeria. But what is the GM doing to have a very good and beautiful tourism structure? Because the one opposite state library doesn't look like a tourism facility. Okay, Omodan Matthew says, good evening. Tourism can actually produce huge revenue for Plateau State if security is enforced strategically. We must salute our godsend Governor BCM for ensuring peaceful coexistence. God is glorified for expelling enemies of Plateau from government during the last Guba election. Beatrice Magaji says, I would like to suggest that the Jos Wildlife Park be a tourist haven if the government will allow all tribes on the plateau to build traditional homes where you can get cultural items such as clothes, food, drinks on a daily basis. Let government provide road network, light and water. It will unite us, creating room for film industry as well to come alive. It's a strategic source of revenue. And finally here, Isaac Ibrahim says, good evening, I really miss you all. All right, this is all we have from this.
Yeah, maybe you can take one comment and then we'll come to the guests. Hello, good evening, thank you for calling.
Hello, good evening, Pastor. I'm Richard.
Yeah, oh, it's not Richard, it's Gilbert. Thank you for calling. Tell us your name and join the conversation, yeah.
Yeah, my name is Putnik, I'm calling from Standard.
Good to hear from you, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, it's been a while, contract.
It is.
I want to have the GM in the city about, because a lot of people are messed up for things. But this hotel along this Ramigo Road, what do they have about it? They have been there for donkey years. Before I come to Jos, I come and meet it. And that place, if it's put to use, is going to bring a lot of profit to Plateau State. It's a very good site after the Ramigo Dam. Then lastly, about this, like this Enugu Road, we have a lot of garden, have a lot of places. There is this one, the former governor, whether Garden of Forgiveness or Garden of Eden, I don't know which one, opposite Ola Hospital. That place supposed to be a tourism site where people can relax and sit down and relax. But the way the place is now, some of the religious have turned that place. They started to raise a religious houses, a worship places between those places. Even the one down to this Ababalewa Junction too. They are getting there too. So what is it having, what plan is it have before? Because those places are supposed to be a tourism site, not a religious site. And you see some religious will just come and do painting, plaster one particular place and do one small place and turn it to religious. Before you know, it will not turn to a name of a particular religious place, which it will not help the plateau state. So the area is better, if you think about it. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, Mr. Trunk, please go ahead and give your response. Beautiful.
Yeah. Especially the last caller spoke about the Rock International Hotel in Lamingo.
Yeah.
And it's equally one of those locations that we are actively looking at. And you know the level of neglect that has... that structure has weakness. It has been exposed to a lot of elements that probably, before you can do a successful investment partnership with that property, you would need to carry out an integrity test to be sure that that building is can accommodate the activities that it was originally designed for. And that is in the pipeline in terms of trying to put up most of the documentation that we need to do. So what we are doing at the state with in Plateau is to take an inventory, more like coming up with investment profiles for all of these tourist facilities, their legal status, the level of completion or dilapidation, the prospects for expansion, the market surveys that will help us once we sit down with any investor, we are able to understand what exactly we require in terms of funds to be able to put them back to use. Not just to accept a proposal that says, I'm willing to bring 1 billion, 2 billion to put into a facility. Perhaps that money would not even be enough. Or you don't require up to that much to transform those facilities. And you end up signing an agreement that tells you that the person can recover those number of billions within 10, 20 years. And already you have lost out from the beginning of those transactions. So what we are actively engaged in is doing this level of inventory for all the tourism facilities so that we just on the spot, we can tell you exactly what is required to transform those facilities and give them the required life that they need. Why we can wait for investors to come, and we can go out to discuss at investment forums, both nationally and internationally, and begin to woo them with actual statistics that shows the prospect and viabilities of this infrastructure or this sector that we're talking about. So we are not just discussing that we have great potentials like has been done in the past.
Something
we're
very tangible.
We're discussing tangibles that you can see, and your other expert or technical people from whichever can verify what we are presenting. And once you know that you can build that level of trust with your investors, then I am very sure that you're on the right track towards signing agreements that eventually you will smile over.
Thank you so much.
As a final, perhaps last point, we say Plateau is the home of peace and tourism. It therefore means that we need to begin to, more like when they talk about gender mainstreaming in development, Plateau needs to take a deliberate step in terms of mainstreaming tourism into our development approaches. So it becomes the responsibility of every arm of government. It becomes the responsibility of every private investor as far as Plateau is concerned. And that is the message that the Tourism Corporation will be carrying going forward, so that we believe and we know that if peace and tourism is what we stand by, then all of us have a duty and responsibility in making tourism flourish.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chuang Pwajok, the General Manager of Plateau State Tourism Corporation.
Thank you very much for having
me.
My friend's birthday is today, Yaksad Maklenk, and I wish him all the best. The director of media, Plateau United. I know how hard he works, and I wish him
I the almost very forgot best. My friend too, Ezekiel from Ezekiel Admilium at Old Airport today. It's his birthday. Mm-hmm. I pray the God bless you. And Mr. Jinan Winston Moses, today is his 10th year wedding anniversary. I pray that you prioritize each other's happiness. And his last son, I think that one is my son too, Jenkins. Today is his birthday. Well, the news will come your way above the hour, 6 o'clock by now.
Thank you for listening to JFM Podcast.